have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Check the way I walk. Yes, that's free, cause my father paid the cost. No, I'm not perfect, God just forgave me. Got a new swag, praising Christ like I'm crazy. This my Christ swag, yeah. My Christ swag, yeah. Uh-huh. This my Christ swag. Okay. My Christ swag, yeah. This my Christ swag, yeah. My Christ swag, yeah. Uh-huh. This my Christ swag. My Christ swag, yeah. Yeah, I'm from the streets. South of the arch, man. Where I used to drink, roll up, and used to spark, man. Now I got my head straight, shining like a million bucks. Christ elevated me, going past the ceiling, bruh. St. Louis City, God Squad t-shirt. Homie, how you doing? Pleased to meet you, this my rebirth. Addicted to the word, it's pumping through my artery. Faith on the meal, the swag is a part of me. Now my glow bright, soul's been redeemed. Covered in the blood, no shower, cause I'm clean. Done playing games, rid of the Xbox, almost flatline. But Christ made my chest pop, walked on the edge. The devil made me wobble, Jesus took the wheel. Fast forward full throttle, still in the hood. Got that street slang, mixed with the spirit. It's a G thing. Keep high talk, check the way I walk. Been set free, cause my father paid the cost. No, I'm not perfect, God just forgave me. Got a new swag, praising Christ like I'm crazy. This my Christ swag, yeah. My Christ swag, yeah. Uh-huh. This my Christ swag, okay. Yeah. My Christ swag, yeah.
God Squad,
this my
bruh.
Christ swag, yeah. My Christ swag, yeah. This my Christ swag,
Cardi, yeah.
My Christ swag, yeah.
Look. My whole style come from Christ,
yeah.
So own it? No sir, you can't put a price. Like bite on rice, I got his blood on me. To be honest, I just care about my guy, homie. And if I'm only living for him, it don't really even matter what y'all think of me. Opinions, you can let them be. I'm killing it, I let them see. The old me is gone. Keep the demons out my heart, then Christ found a home. No more Patron or nitrous. I might just give God a praise with my best. He's highest, glory in here. Hallelujah, yes sir. Put my trust in the Lord. I ain't having no fear. No, I don't have a care. Besides pleasing my father, tell any hater you see, man, don't even bother. Cause Jesus is my medicine. I ain't never hurting. Catching waves of his glory, man. I'm Christ swag surfing.
Yeah. I talk, check the way I walk. Been set free, cause my father paid the cost. No, I'm not perfect. God just forgave me. Got a new swag. Praising Christ like I'm crazy. This my Christ swag.
Yeah.
My Christ swag, yeah.
Uh-huh.
This my Christ swag.
Okay.
My Christ swag, yeah. This my Christ swag, yeah. My Christ swag, yeah.
Uh-huh.
This my Christ swag.
God Squad.
My Christ swag, yeah.
Okay, I get it from my father.
Uh-huh.
Head to toe swinging on that word, that's the motto.
Yeah.
Used to be a up or down flipper like the Lido.
Uh-huh.
Roll with Big Frank and ST, old squad though. Now I'm aiming at the world with that blessed go.
Yeah.
Hard repetition, stay flexing, holy rollers know. When you see that light shine, this ain't baby doe. He ain't got a VVS on him, what a freak show. No, but I'm close with my father though. I ain't Leroy, but the boy got a lot of glow. Took a whole lot of land out to kill his ego. Missing my whole purpose like Shaq with them free throws. If you rapping vain, can't edify the people. Swag on 100, gaining speed, adios flow. And I'm top flow, reaching for his glory. You think I got some swag, Christ the one that poured it on me.
Check the way I
walk.
Been set free, cause my father paid the
cost.
No, I'm not perfect, God just forgave me. Got a new swag, praising Christ like I'm crazy. This my Christ swag,
yeah.
My Christ swag, yeah.
Uh-huh.
This my Christ swag,
okay.
My Christ swag, yeah. This my Christ swag,
yeah.
My Christ swag, yeah.
Uh-huh.
This my Christ swag. My Christ swag, yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. Good evening, good evening, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to Elation Radio. Welcome back, all. We made it back. It's been a wonderful week. God has been continuing to bless the way that he does. Y'all know how it is. We might not feel like it's a blessing, but God continues to bless by allowing us to feel what it is we feel and experience what it is he has for us to experience. But better than that, we get to reap the benefits for all the mistakes or all the crazy decisions we make. You know what I mean? But welcome back, everybody. Hello, Sister Kim. Glad you're doing good. Looking beautiful. And just having a good time. I wanted to come back today. I got a funny topic I wanted to talk about. Not a whole lot, just a little something because I was having some discussions with a few people over this past few weeks, maybe a month, and it's just been a blessing. And we were talking about duties and responsibilities, and I was just like, I think as men, we do have certain duties and responsibilities. And so I wanted to first just let everybody know, continue to pray for us all. Continue to pray for myself, my brother Jason, my sister Kimmy. What a wonderful, beautiful light that she's been in my life. You know, we communicate, but she's just an awesome person. My boy Jason, you know, he a little rough around the edges, but I love you, Jason. And me, of course, Mr. Blow Everything Up. But it's okay, because I do it out of love. With that being said, I want to welcome you back to Elation Radio. It's Minister Cedric and my partner in crime, Jason, on Relentless Pursuit. We just love the life right now. But Jason, how you doing out there, man?
Man, I'm good, sir. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right. Am I coming through loud and clear for you?
Yeah. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. I hear you good. I'm doing good. And I've had a wonderful week. What about yourself?
Man, no complaints.
Yeah, you've been good.
No complaints.
Well, that's good.
A little move. Got a new space. You know, new start. So, yeah, it's been good.
You done moved and got a whole new space, huh?
Yeah, so.
That's good. How's that feel? Because I know whenever I move and get a new space, I feel brand new. Okay, cool. I'm glad you're feeling good. Well, I tell you what. I was reading today, and I was reading Ecclesiastes 12, and I think it was 12 and 13. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Here you go. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of a man. Tonight, man, just I wanted to kind of talk about, as men, we have certain responsibilities when it comes to the different relationships that we have. And it's just been, I'm telling you, these last few months have just been enlightening for me. And I've had some difficulty, but at the same time, I'm just enjoying it. You know, I believe that God puts us in, allows us to experience life the way we experience it. I like to say God puts us in these situations, but there are circumstances due to our, normally, not always, but there are circumstances due to our own decision-making. And so I want to talk a little bit about our responsibility when it comes to relationships, because I don't know about you, but I have had one too many a relationship. Now, this is friendship, brotherhood, fatherhood, whatever. The love of my life. This is just relationships. I'm just lumping relationship in with relationship. But I feel like I've had one too many relationship where I have been blamed for the way another person feels, or the way I made another person feel, or whatever the word is, whatever, however you want to put the scenario. And I just wanted to know, I wanted to talk a little bit about today, like as men, what is our responsibility when it comes to our different relationships? What kind of responsibility do we bear for how that relationship turns out? What do you think about that question?
I think that's a good question. And I think when you think about that question, you go all the way back to the beginning, where we always go. We go to Genesis. And what happened? Right? God created the heavens. God created the earth. God created water. God created land. And then all of a sudden, God said, hey, I need somebody to have dominion, you know, to care for this, to steward this thing that I created. And then he created man. So when we talk about our responsibility, it starts there. You know, we have to be stewards. And that stewardship, you know, expands beyond just over our finances, but it's over our family, it's over our community, it's over one another. You know, it's over the only thing that Christ built himself, the church. So when you talk about responsibility, you know, I think it's that stewardship over all the things that God has created and given us stewardship over.
Okay, that's great. But man, I mean, how do I say it, brother? That kind of vague though. Like, that don't tell me how to live my life. That don't tell me my responsibility. That don't tell me what I should be doing, what I shouldn't be doing. You know, no, I shouldn't be thinking like that.
Well, no, I mean, so, yeah, it's vague in the sense that, okay, that's conceptually what I'm supposed to do. Now, the question to your point, well, how do I practically do that, right? You know, how do I practically, you know, I operate these things out? And you know, we talk about it all the time. It's trained and untrained, right? You've given me this responsibility. You've given me the stewardship. Well, what do I need to do? You know, what training do I need to go through to effectively do this? And for me, you know, of course, I'm always going to tell you, go back to where it begins, go back to the Creator himself, which is God, Christ, and his word. But for other people, it's, you know, you find somebody who exhibits success in that arena, and then you train yourself in their ways and figure out what they're doing and start doing that. So specifically, when we talk about, you know, our personal relationships, well, we have to be leaders. And sometimes as a leader, you know, you can't get confused. Leader doesn't always bang his chest and say, you know, we're going to do it this way. Sometimes a leader is submissive in their own way, right? Because leading is just, you know, one of my mentors tell me, he say leading means that you have to lead the way, and sometimes you have to be up front. And sometimes being up front doesn't always mean that you're the one that's making the decisions, but you always got to be the one that goes first.
See, because it's interesting to say that, because again, I always have to go back to that. Again, I just go back to that one scripture, that Ecclesiastes 12:13. You know, the NIV version says, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. And when I see, because that part that gets me is the part that says, keep his commandments. Keep his commandments. And as in, that's in the NIV version. And also in the King James Version, it says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And of course, the NIV version says mankind, which is talking about everybody. But the reason that sticks out to me, I'll parallel that to what you, when you brought up Genesis. I mean, Genesis puts it in such a light that you know, it paints such a broad picture. You know what I'm saying? Because responsibility, like the land, in Genesis 24, it talks about let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds. You know, the livestock, creatures that move along the ground, wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so, because that's what God wanted to happen. But leading in relationship, man, it's such a difficult thing. Like, think about this. Because I like the way you're painting the picture, but man, for me, when I said it was vague, I'm thinking about it like this, like, okay, I'm a man, you my brother, right? And you upset me. Something you did upset me. What is my responsibility now? Because I'm only responsible for my actions. I can't be responsible for Jason's actions. And it's hard for me to put that into the concept of what Genesis brings out until I read into the scripture, like where it says in verse 29, it says, I give you every seed-bearing plant of the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit and seed in it. They will be yours for food. But when I think about my brothers, when I think about you, my part is that I need to be pure at heart. I need to work hard at not causing conflict between you and I, but also I think on the other side, and again, I'm talking about as brother to brother, I need to be able to understand you. Let's say I don't understand you, but I at least need to be able to understand the situation. I at least need to be able to lean not to my own understanding. I need to be able to understand you for who you are, understand the words that are coming out of your mouth for what they are. And I think I owe you that as a brother. One of my responsibilities, the reason why God made us leaders, right, made us as men leaders, is not to dominate one another, thinking that my responsibility right. is to coexist with you in a very, I guess the only word I can use is communal, a very collaborative way. And the problem I run into a lot of times when it comes to my male partners, my male companions, my male friends, is that I know that sometimes we bump heads. And I think my duty in a relationship like that, in a friendship like that, is sometimes I'm to be somewhat aggressive, but other times I am to be passive. And I need to see it from the other person's point of view. I need to take it on the chin. Does that make sense? Because I feel like I'm talking in circles at the moment.
No. I think it does. I think, you know, when we talk about our leadership, and I think there is no set do this, do that. You've got to do what the situation calls for, right? You know, there may be times where a situation calls for, let me be the aggressive one. Let me be the assertive one. Let me be the one to take charge and say, like, hey, this is how we're going to do things. There may be a situation where, hey, I'm just going to lay back in the cut and I'm going to let things play out, right? You know, there's all kinds of situations, and those things are supposed to happen, right? So our leadership, you know, it isn't one or the other. It is a spectrum. And what we have to do as men is develop, you know, every aspect of that spectrum. You know, one of the things that I've always heard is, like, you know, your leadership is like a toolbox, right? You know, we have, you know, we talk about leadership style. Leadership is like a toolbox. There are certain leaders, there are certain tools that you use that are going to be effective. Hey, I'm trying to take this piece of wood, and I'm trying to put them together, and all I have is a nail, right? Guess what?
Yeah.
A hammer is going to be great for that, right? Guess what's not going to be great for that? You know, a screwdriver. Now, can I get that nail put in with a screwdriver? Yes, but it's going to be really difficult. But so it's all about using the right tool for the situation. So as men, what we have to do is develop those tools and to be able to be nimble in any situation that God's placed us in.
Okay. All right. So let's take this a step further, because I got to get to the meat of this thing. I mean, to another part of this whole relationship thing. Let's talk about the most common form of relationship versus men is our relationship with our female partners, our wives, our fiancés, our girlfriends. And, you know, I get stuck sometimes when I personally have to deal with. Have to deal with relationships. We both know I'm not married, and I have not been for 24 years. People look at me and they laugh and they say, "Man, that's insane." But I think that when it comes to quote unquote relationships, I think that we bear our husband role. I'll say it like that. I think we bear a lot of responsibility. I think we bear honestly, the bulk of the responsibility. What do you think about that?
No, I definitely agree. I think in the role of a husband, you know, and I was having a conversation with a coworker, and we were talking about this, and I'm like, Christ is the head of man, and man is the head of the woman. And when you think about that, you know, look at it, it starts with Christ is the head of a man, which means that how I submit to Christ, you know, and how Christ deals with me is how I have to deal with my wife, right? In that leadership. And if you notice how Christ deals with us, he never forces us to do anything. He never makes us do anything. He freely allows us to exercise our will. Now, with that being said, there's times when we exercise our will in a way that doesn't bring us close to him, and we suffer the consequences. But even in spite of that, you know, when we come back, he's always there. And what Christ does, and I think what we have to do as men, is create an environment where we can achieve the best version of ourselves. And for me, the best version of me is the version God called me to be. So for a husband, my role is to create an environment for that woman that allows her to be the best version of herself. Sometimes that's environment is just where I'm just sitting there and I'm letting her vent. I'm letting her be upset. Sometimes it's hey, we need to take action and you're not comfortable, so I'm going to pause. Sometimes the environment is, hey, we're going to do this and now I'm going to need you to work through it, right? But it's whatever it takes to help her become the best version of herself.
So whatever it takes. So like one of the things I believe us as men, I think one of the deficiencies we have in our romantic relationships is, here it is. This is for me, this is a big one, is we don't take full responsibility for our actions and our decisions. You know what I'm saying? Like I believe that today, in our society today, that there are a lot of us as men that have no real idea of what our role is in a relationship. You know, we love the idea of dating, right? How do I say it? We love the idea of dating, but a lot of men date today not because that they really want a relationship, but I have found that a lot of younger men today, they date because they want somebody to take care of them. And this was a disturbing trend. When I was a young man, when these guys would go out with these ladies, and they would always say to me, I stay with my girl. I'm living with my girl. I'm like, you living with your girl? What are you talking about? Well, you know, she got a crib already, and, you know, I just rather live with her. And it was like they were dating out of convenience, and they would say they loved the girl, and they would pound their chest and say, I'm a man. But that was a very disturbing aspect of relationship for me, because these men were not taking full responsibility for that woman. Now, some of these guys, they got married to these women, but they just didn't meet that role of being a very responsible man. Have you ever run into that? Do you have a problem with men, with those of us who do that?
Well, I I think not as the problem I see is when I look at a man like that, you know, he has lost his identity, right? And honestly and truthfully, if you really think about what it is, when we are young and we are kids, when we are boys, we have our mothers who sometimes take care of us. You know, unfortunately, more and more what we have is we have these single moms taking care of these boys, and they know is how to be a boy, right? Without a man in their life teaching them what a man is and how to be a man, or a mother who's going to allow them to become their man instead of always being their little boy, this is what you have. So when I see these young men who embrace that life, part of it is they were never taught. The second part is they don't want to learn. So one of the things that always prevalent to me is like, okay, you cannot you cannot control what you were taught as a child. You know what? That's fine.
Right. Right.
But once you become an adult, you can't control what you learned. Right?
All
right. So
yeah.
I'll give them young men the benefit of the doubt. Okay, mama didn't teach you how to be a man. Mama didn't teach you that as a man, you're supposed to be the one that's shepherding your family and leading and protecting and providing. That's supposed to be your role. Mama didn't teach you that. Granted. But what are you doing to learn it? Right?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing to learn it? What are you doing to try to figure that out?
Yeah, see, and I like that because I like to think that, and my thought process is that as we talk about men being responsible, now we're kind of getting into that husband, provider, father role, right? We're getting more into that, and I think that one of the most important things that we do as responsible men is that we don't do things and then we blame other people or we blame every circumstance or situations. What we do is we take responsibility for it. And I think that as men, when we start to take responsibility for things that we do wrong, like it doesn't, and correct me if I'm wrong, J-Dub, but one of the things we do is we apologize for our shortcomings, right? And we have to understand that being apologetic about our mistakes or our bad decisions doesn't make us less of a man, but it demonstrates that, you know what, we've got the courage and integrity to own up for our own faults. And then what we do at that point, what we do, because a lot of people, and I've heard a lot of young men, they will say, oh, well, I'm not going, here's the quote I can't stand. Well, I'm not going to lie, I did this, I did that, but I did it for this reason, as opposed to, you know what, hey, I apologize, I did this, and I want to apologize for my shortcomings, and I take full responsibility for everything I did wrong. And then the very next step, I believe, is that we have to start to take steps to correct those bad decisions. Now, for me, that's a twofold argument. On one hand, I'm apologizing for the action that I took. Here it is. As a man on the other side of the equation, I have to be responsible enough to accept this apology. Here it is. I have to help you navigate this thing so you can make a better decision the next time. And that's what being a husband, a father, a friend, an uncle, that's what it's all about. It's not about knowing and being perfect. It's about helping others learn to navigate the system. Because like you said, you know, it's all grand that your mama didn't teach you certain things or your father, let me say it like this, your parents didn't teach you certain things growing up. But don't the Bible say when I became a man, I put away childish things? And so now we start learning how to navigate these things in a more responsible manner. Am I right?
Yep. And go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, you go ahead, brother.
No, and I think you said a lot there, and I think, you know, when you think about that in these young men, you know, and to your point, taking responsibility but not making excuses, right? And you know, part of me feels like, and as I deal with people today, it's almost like when people make a mistake, they define themselves by their mistakes. You know, and because what I see a lot of is when you try to do some coaching, when you try to do correction, people aren't just resisting. It feels like they're fighting for themselves because they get aggressive, they get adamant. No. I'm like, bro, you forgot to put the peanut butter. You forgot to put the top on the peanut butter. Chill out. It ain't that crucial, you know.
Right.
But for them, it's almost like, you're telling me I'm a bad person. No. And I'm like, whoa, hold on, calm down. It ain't that crucial, right? But I think what we experience, and this is really what happens, is the fact that, you know, we don't have an identity of what it means to be a man. And like I said, the hard part isn't the fact that they don't know, and no one wants, they don't want to try to figure out. And that's where I start getting disappointed in our young men today, is that, you know, they see these things, they see the stuff on TV, they see some of this stuff, and instead of being like, man, that's what I aspire to be, they're like, nah, I'm good. And they take the easy way out, right? Yeah, I can probably go and get a job and, you know, do what I'm supposed to be doing. But, hey, she's going to take care of me. Might as well. And I've had these tell me that, like, might as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's funny, but that leads me to that other role that we have as men, is to be a provider, right? And a lot of us, like you said, we're like, oh, she want to take care of me. How is a woman taking care of you being a good steward or being a good provider for a man?
It's not.
I mean, can you
explain
that?
But it's not. But the problem is, you're assuming that my definition of a man includes that. Unfortunately, what we're dealing with today, or the definition of a man is something other than what we've known it to be, other than what God's called it to be. Forget about what our culture tells us. It's what God tells us, right?
What does our culture tell us?
Our culture is telling us, oh, you're a man because you got all these women out to you, and you know, when you slide into folks' DMs, they listening to you, and you got this, and you got that, and you got women, you know, want to take care of you, and, you know, because that's what you see in this social media culture, right? Men talking about how many women they have, how many big cars they drive, how much money they have, and
watch
in social
out,
media culture.
Well,
but in the social media culture, that's all they're known by. Instead of, you know, and when you do hear the men talking about, you know, what that looks like and the sacrifice you have to make and the things you have to do, you know, unfortunately, they don't get a lot of followers, and they don't have a lot of followers, and so, but the reality of it is, that's really what masculinity looks like. That's what it should be like. That's what it needs to be.
Yeah, you know what's funny with that is because it brings us to this, to another point, you know, just getting it out of what we were just talking about, is we talk about being a provider. You remember how you used to always say to me, well, you still do sometimes, when do they get to see Clark Kent? Remember how you always say that to me?
Right.
And I always say, man, I'm showing up Clark Kent. You like, nah, bro. Excuse me, one second, Daniel. Hold on.
Nah, you're fine.
Yeah, my throat still not back to normal, but I got to drink a little bit. But everybody always say to me, you say, when do they get to see Clark Kent? They always see Superman. I think some of us as men, we have this hero complex or instinct. We have this natural ability, I believe, that God gave us, because what we want to do is we want to be these great providers. We want to provide everything for the relationship that we can. And you know what? That's a noble act, far from the act of a guy just laying back, letting a woman take care of him. But God gave us, I believe, every man has this natural instinct to be a provider for his household, even for his brothers. You know, there's a natural instinct that if I see Jason doing bad, I want to help Jason out. I don't want to sit back and talk about it. I don't want to sit back and watch my brother suffer. Same with my family at home. Innately, I want to be that hero. I want to be the protector. But the problem is, the problem is that we fall short of that when we don't actually do it. You know what I'm saying? Like it's hard for you to claim you're a great provider if you can't keep a job and pay the bills. And so when I think about how you always tell me that, you know, I'm always thinking, man, but I'm fully committed to this relationship. And when it comes to my kids, you know how it is. My youngest daughter, she's got the two boys, right? So
right.
I used to get all this baby food formula. She's got an infant. He's 9. He's almost 10 months now. And then she's got the 2-year-old. So I always get this baby formula for it. This stuff, I didn't realize how expensive it was. It was like $50 for maybe a 2 week, maybe a month supply. It's like $50, right? So I didn't know. I got like 15 cans of this stuff. But why did I do it? She's married. Her husband takes good care of her. She and her husband, they maintain their household. They never asked me for a dime. But I did it, and I didn't realize it. But in our many conversations, Jason, I did it because, you know, there's an innate thing in me that says, hey, this is your daughter. Does she need help? Maybe, maybe not. But I want to help. So I always let her see that hero side of me. You know, that hero thing, I read it somewhere. I think they call it a hero instinct. But something inside of us that makes us want to be that hero. But the thing is, it's not that I'm trying to be a hero to my daughter. I'm fully committed to her raising her kids the right way. I'm fully committed to her having a life free of stress. You know what I'm saying? And that's part of what it is to me to be a provider, even though she's no longer in my house, even though she's got a husband to be her provider. I still want to assist the two of them in having a stress-free life as best that they can. And I think that for me, as far as that providing part, I just feel like I'm doing my part as a father. I'm doing my part as a father-in-law. I'm doing my part as a grandfather. Again, that whole instinct to provide for your family. But I see in a lot of our young men today, it's just not there. It's like nothing triggers that on a lot of them, unless it's violence. A lot of young men, they ready to fight and act a fool, but are you really ready to provide? You know what I'm saying?
Well,
because I
Yeah. I think you know when we thought define what provision looks like, right? What does that provision look like? I think we've skewed it though. I think people say I do provide for my woman. I'm home. I don't have to go without. You know, I'm always doing this. You know, I fill her car up with gas. I get it washed. I take it to the mechanic. But it's her car that you ain't got one, right? You know, like, are you really providing, right? So that definition of provision, right? You know, it's been skewed in these young men's mind to think like I provide because I give, not I provide because I sacrifice, right? You know, we've got it confused that we think provisions about giving, not sometimes when real provisions about sacrifice, right? It's about, hey, you know what? Yeah, I got this money, and yeah, I should, I can go out and spend this money and buy myself the new Jordans, get myself that new game system, get that good controller I'm looking for. But you know what?
Yeah.
That's not good for the family. Right, so I'm providing some financial security for my family by sacrificing my wants and desires and allowing that money to come back into the family, right?
Yeah.
You know, so I think the definition of provision, because like I said, when you talk to people and you talk about what these men are supposed to be, oh yeah, I provide. Oh no, I protect. Oh no, yeah, I do all that. And then you ask, well, what does that look like for you? And so. It's that skewed reality to know, like I said, I think provision is really about, you know, not what you give but what you sacrifice. And when men start taking that, and when you see, you know, the older men, you know, and what they do, you hear about the sacrifice they made in life. You hear about the things they made in life. And then when you talk to that woman, oh, he's a great provider. It's like, what? You know, and you start to see that, right? You start to see what truly is when you talk about, providing, what that really looks like and what that really is.
Yeah.
And you start to see, it is about sacrifice.
Yeah. And it's funny because when you say that it is about sacrifice and being a provider, you know, I was always told that a man who works hard and pursues his passion, a man that works hard and pursues his passion is not only going to be a good provider for a woman, right? But he's also going he should also bring that hard work, that work ethic into resolving the issues in his relationship. Or shall I say, he should bring that work ethic into the relationship. In other words, if you work hard on your job, let's say, Jason, you know somebody who started out, let's say you work in a call center type environment sometimes. So you got a guy who comes in and he's a rep on the phone, but he's so driven at work. He works hard, even to a point sometimes where he kind of forgets that balance in his relationship, but he works hard. He's driven. He says, I want to be a supervisor so I can provide better for my family. And he gets the support at home and he creates a balance that I have this passion to be all that I can be at work, but at home I need to bring the same fire, the same enthusiasm, the same passion into building a strong relationship. And I think if we can, as men, and I'm talking all of our relationships, our friendships, and I know it's really difficult to give 100% to every type of relationship you have in your life. But here's the deal on that, and you can help me if I'm wrong on this one, Jason. But if you're putting in so much effort into all of your relationships, I'm going to ask you this question. Actually, just hit me. If I'm putting that much effort and energy into these relationships, how many relationships did I have? Do I have time for social media? Do I have time to kick it with my boys on Friday night? Do I have time to spend time with my kids? Do I have time to spend time with my wife? Do I have time to have my extended family? How do I create that sort of space if I'm trying to be this ultra responsible and productive husband or friend or son or father? How do I create that type of space then, Jason, if I'm giving 100% to all these relationships? That sounds exhausting to me.
Yeah, and I think, you know, and that's where that wisdom comes in. You have to figure out what the relationships need me the most, right? You know, and being able to make that decision and determination. And this is where I talk about sacrifice. Man, I want to be in church every day ministering to them young kids and stuff like that. And yeah, that's what I want to do. That's what God put on my heart. But my wife is struggling, feeling lonely, right? So when we talk about provision, like I said, it's about sacrifice. Man, I would love to be at that church every day with them kids, but that ain't the space I'm in. You know, there's a greater need that's calling for me. There's a greater call in my life. So I'm going to give up my wants and desire and do what you call me to do, God. And, you know, so as we talk about that, you know, I think we run into that a lot where when we talk about provisions, and especially when it comes to work, this is the skewed vision we had. Man, go to work, make sure you provide your family the things that they need.
Mm.
But we limit provision to only be financial. But what about the spiritual provision? I'm not going to work on Sunday because I'm going to take my, you know, like I'm going to take my family to church, right? I'm not going to come. I'm not going to let my family go to church without me, and I'm not going to let them not go to church. I'm going to take you to church because that's my role as a provider. Ooh. Right, but we
now,
get lost sometimes in that provision. So,
yeah, but what do you say to the people? Say, that ain't manly. That ain't no man. Ain't that kind of man? I don't have to go to church. What do you say about a brother that say that's not a manly thing to do? I mean, you know, because like I can't tell you, Jason. I haven't been a pastor of a church. That is the most humbling ever had the pleasure of playing a role in, because I'm going to tell you that people in the church will really, man, they'll really step on your nerves, and they think they're doing you a favor by insulting you in your face. And people say, that's not a manly thing. I remember myself thinking, man, this woman got one more time to disrespect me like that, and I'm going to have to give up peace of my mind. Then I would go into prayer about it. But that ain't a manly thing to do. How do we get our men to think like that and not be swayed by whether it's macho or masculine to do these things?
Yeah, and I think we go back to the original, right? It's okay to have a perception of masculinity and to try to live up to that perception, but it's whether who's defining it, right? You know, all who's right. defining all what right. what be what it means to be a man? If you let the culture decide what's manly and what's not, if you let the culture decide that masculinity, then yeah, you're always going to be lost. You're always going to be like, oh, that's not what a man does. Mm. But if you let the word of God and the yeah. example of Christ define what a man is, then you see, ooh. Right? You, on one moment, you see this man go into the temple and just wreck shop, kicking over tables,
yeah.
whipping folks, just handling
yeah.
his business. But at the same time, you see
yeah.
the same man who, in his own meekness, allowed himself to be crucified, allowed himself to be spat on, allowed himself to be poked in the side. At any point in time, he had the power and authority to say, to snap his finger. You know, a lot of us who watch these Marvel movies, like Thanos, snap his finger and make everything whatever he wanted to be. He, in his meekness, in his own submission, he's like, I'm not going to do that. That's the definition of masculinity.
Yeah.
The hard part.
Yeah.
The hard part as men is when do I go in and wreck top, and when do I operate in that submission of just allowing things to happen. And that's where, as men, this is where we have to make sure that we are in touch with the source, and we've got that guidance, we've got that training, right? So when we make that decision to say, you know what, I'm just going to sit here quietly and operate in my, I'm going to operate in my quietness and allowing this situation to happen, as opposed to, you know what, I need to take action, and that action needs to be severe, and it needs to be for real. Right? That's what we have to train ourselves to know when to take those actions.
Right. It is funny because I think those qualities, we can sum it up by saying this right here. If as men, we have to be decisive in our decision making. We have to make those decisions with confidence, right? And, you know, just some of the qualities, we have to be self-reliant to a point. But I think one of the biggest problems we have in society when it comes to holding down our responsibilities, one of the biggest problems is having high moral standards and high moral values, because we seem to have lost that somewhere in our society. With being a man, it's not a – and it's almost like I hate to say it like this, because I do believe in what the Bible says about heterosexual relationships, but sometimes it feels like when I meet a woman who identifies as a man, or, you know, maybe they're in a relationship with another woman, a lot of times I feel like, I mean, that woman is trying to be in competition with me, and I have to exhibit a lot more self-control when it comes to that, because part of my responsibility in society, and God has given me this, is that, you know what, the way you're living is wrong, but that's where it is. My job is to lead you to Christ, introduce you to Christ, and let Christ do the rest of the work. I can't force you, and this is where we mess up as men sometimes. I can't force somebody to live the way that I live, or live the way that I think they should live. So I think when it comes to being a man and being that manly guy, is that we've got to learn to control our temperament. We've got to be able to have a difficult conversation, even though it's uncomfortable for us. And when we have these tough conversations, Jason, correct me if I'm wrong, they can't be disrespectful. We can't lose our cool. We will be uncomfortable because the situation is uncomfortable, but God sometimes allows us to be uncomfortable so it can bring out the best in us. And if we learn to control it like that and respect, we have to deeply respect one another. We have to truly respect our wives or our mates. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I think that man, if we could grasp hold of that little part right there, that little nugget, you know, just that little nugget. And the nugget I'm talking about is being uncomfortable in talking about these situations and expressing ourselves with self-control and being dignified in our responses. It will lead to a deeper respect for our spouses. Am I right? And our children and our friends. I mean, what do you think about that?
No, I think there is some good nuggets in there. You know, I think, you know, when you talk about operating as a man, you know, what I hear more than anything, we've got to operate not in our feelings, not in our sense of self, but in something greater, right? And, you
yeah.
know, in something greater than, you know, what I want, you know. I think one of the hardest things, you know, and we have to recognize this as men, if you talk about the biblical marriage and the biblical order that God established, that, you know, Christ is the head of man and man is the head of the woman, that woman
yeah.
is asked to submit to this man and to trust him and to have faith in him and to think, okay, God, you gave me this man, so wherever he leads, I'm going to follow, right? And
yeah.
So that's a hard place for a woman to be in. And as a man, if I can't recognize what it takes to be a biblical woman and the strength he has, and then be able to soften my approach to let her know, like, hey, you know what? Yeah, I know what you're called to do. You're called to submit to me, but let me show you what that submission is going to look like. Let me show you the space in which we operate in. Let me show you that when I make decisions and you are submitting to me, that I am considering you. I am thinking about your feelings, and we are conversating. We are talking about it. And you know that when I make a decision, it's not out of my own selfish wants and desires, but it's about something bigger and greater, right? And I hear these men always complain, my wife don't listen to me. My wife don't, you know, especially church, my wife don't follow. Well, are you giving her something to lead? Right? Are you giving her a good model? Are you showing her a good model of leadership? But are all your decisions selfish and self-centered, and they're never going to be one that says, hey, this is what's good for the family, not for me, right? And, you know, so,
yeah.
so you know, and I think it's those mindsets where you think about yourself and you think about the big responsibility is being a man, right? If you're telling me in my life, if you're telling me in my life that my wife, my children are supposed to follow me, and I
yeah.
have to lead them and guide them, and everything I do is going to have an impact on what they're doing, that's a big responsibility. And when I look
Isn't
at it as that, then I have to be like, how do I exercise that responsibility in a way to honor God the most? And when you look at the Esther of Christ, Christ didn't always do what he wanted to do. Christ did what God called him
yeah.
to do. Right?
But
he
see,
did what God called him to do.
Well, how do you identify that in relationship? Because I'm going to tell you, I'm somewhat of a more low-key or quieter alpha. You know what I'm saying? But
mm-hmm.
I don't seek to dominate my woman in a relationship. You know, I try to create, even with my kids, even with you as my brother, as my friend, I try to create an environment where you can be totally honest with me. Even sometimes, but there have been some things you said to me, you know, that hey, hurt my feelings, and I wanted to be angry. And maybe it's a few times that I got angry. Maybe I yelled at you. Maybe I said something off the cuff. But one of us, between the two of us, one of us is always calm. That other person can blow off steam, but we step back. We allow it to happen, and then we move forward. So how do we create that? I think that in intimate relationships, we just want to be the dominant figure, and I think that's a poison in our society. And I also believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, I also believe it's a gross misinterpretation of the Word of God.
And I think, you know, when you talk about that, it's you don't seek to dominate. You seek to lead. And part of that leadership is sometimes being quiet, right? And allowing people to experience and to be that rock that they need you to be. You know, I don't think we're ever called to dominate. I don't think we're ever called to force. Like Christ ain't never forced us to do anything. God ain't never forced us to do anything. He gives us the ability to make our choices and to exercise our free will. You know, so
yeah.
I agree. It's a gross misreading when a man is saying, you know, when his picture of headship is, you just need to do what I say. Well, my question is this: are you doing everything God says? No. Then why would you expect that woman to follow you when you're not even following God? Right?
Go ahead. I'll tell you what I'm saying.
Now, good woman. I mean,
yeah.
a godly woman, she would do that because
yeah.
she's like, you know what? In spite of what this foolish man is doing and getting me into, I trust you, God, right? But a real man is not going to put his woman in that situation. A real man is not going to put his woman in a situation that she has to follow you in spite of.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because I think you're 100% right. But the problem we have in our society is there's not many, quote unquote, if you use that standard, there's not many real men. How can we help our brothers and our young men even get there? Because, honestly, I believe, my own personal belief, is that a lot of these men, they know what they're doing. And they still doing what they're doing. And they ain't trying to change it. So how do we help them change it? How can we?
Well, but that's the thing, right? You know, I think for anything to change, there has to be a want and desire to change. And that's it. I mean, just like that free, we talked about that free will. That free will is a strong thing. And if I truly want the best for the people that I love, then I'm going to figure out a way to make it happen. And that means that now I have my heart is open for that change. Now, unfortunately, there's a lot of people in this world who've been so hurt and wounded that their heart is so hardened that it becomes difficult. And if you're at that state, you need therapy. I mean, that's the first part.
I'm gonna agree with that, but I also believe that. I also believe this. And again, correct me if I'm wrong, because you know, I want my brothers and my sisters, no matter their age, I want them to understand that what we're talking about here may be boring to some people, maybe kind of like whatever, they don't know what they're talking about kind of thing. But you know, we kind of up in age a little something. I mean, I'm beyond my quote unquote midlife crisis, unless I'm gonna live to be 106. I'm beyond midlife, right? I'm over halfway through this life that I'm living, right? So, but I think the first step, and I said all that to say this, I think the first step in resolving this, into helping our men or training our young men to be better men, is here it is, teaching them how to be leaders. In other words, teaching them how to show leadership and taking the initiative in their relationships. Right, because look. A lot of times we, as men, we want to show that we're the alpha. We want to show our wives how manly we are. We want to do all this stuff, but what we don't do, here it is, what we don't do is the first thing we forget is that we need to show that woman that we are worthy. I need to show my son that I'm worthy of being his father. I need to show my daughters the same thing. I need to show you as my brother that I'm worthy of being a good brother held in high regard, right, and good standard. And I can only do that by being a good leader and showing some initiative in all of the aspects of the relationships that I have in my life. It doesn't mean I have to be the domineering individual. It means I have to have true leadership qualities. And I think that our young men and our young women are not going to be their best if they don't learn that simple thing. Learn what the leadership is. Learn what leadership qualities are so they can start to take the initiative. You don't believe me? I'll give you a twofold here. And interrupt me. Feel free to speak whenever you like, Jada. But I think as a young man, if we're teaching our young men how to be good leaders of their households, how to be good leaders in the community, we start by showing them what good is when it comes to whatever aspect of life they want to live. We start by showing them that. And again, that starts in the house. We show them what initiative is. We give them those morals and those values, and we allow them to demonstrate them even as they are young boys growing into the adolescent stage of life and then the teenage stage of life and then into young men, their young manhood, right? Right. We have to show them every step of the way, because what happens is when they don't get that training at home, they get it in the streets. And you already know what society does. I mean, does that make sense to you? Or did I just talk?
No.
I didn't say nothing.
No, it does. It does. And, you know, so it goes back to what you always say, trained and untrained, right? And making sure that, you know, they get that training and helping them see that the training you're getting on YouTube, on Instagram, on Snapchat, that's not training.
Yeah.
That's a show,
yeah,
you know, but that's not training.
A boo-boo show.
Right?
Yeah.
And getting them to really truly understand what that training looks like. And like I said, you know, unfortunately, I feel like you said it earlier, in the heart of every man is to be that provider, is to be that leader. So God's put that desire in our heart. Unfortunately, our execution and going out and fulfilling it is where we mess up. Oh, I'm going to watch this YouTube video. Oh, that guy looks like a real, he looks like a man to me. So I'm gonna follow him and do what he does, right? And those are the things. So it's a beautiful thing to have that heart for God, to be like, yeah, I wanna do more. You know, I want this thing to be more. But at the same time, you got to make sure that, you know, when you go into that training mechanism, you know that you are following the right God.
Yeah, I agree with that. I tell you what, Jason, you know, this has been a great conversation. I'm hoping that we can get back together next week and finish this one, because there's a few other things I would really like to say, and then we talk about, because we can stay on leadership for hours and hours, but I don't want to beat everybody over the head, and we've come to our 1 hour mark. But I want to say this, J-Dub, is that, you know, the important thing about taking the initiative is it's funny, and correct me if I'm wrong, we got about another minute, but I want to say this real quick, is that taking initiative and being a leader in your home, you can't be afraid of making a mistake. You can't always play it safe, right? Sometimes you have to say, babe or partner, I'm going to handle it for you. It doesn't mean to go out and show up some physical violence. It means that you're going to rationally think through a solution, and you're going to try to implement this solution, even if it means that you're going to consult some others. If you're going to bend the ear of your deacon at church, your brother, your sister, whomever. But I think it's really important to seek wise counsel, and the Bible itself speaks about that, seeking wise counsel. And we have to be sometimes the wise counsel that our peers and our family members reach out to. Am I right?
Yes. Yes, most definitely.
Because I think that is another exercise for us as men to become brave, you know, to walk boldly in the things of God and the things that we've been gifted with, and to cherish our relationships, our friendships, you know, our guardianships. And I believe that that is definitely a key to that. So with that being said, J-Dub, you got any last thing you want to say today?
Nah, man, just like I said, that responsibility is a good one. Just keep stepping into it.
All right, cool. So I just want to encourage all the young men, anybody within the sound of my voice, young lady, anybody in any kind of relationship, friendship, whatever, platonic or not, or intimate relationship, I just want to say this, that we have to understand what responsibility looks like, what it feels like, to understand what it is. And we have to practice these things, because if we don't practice them, I'm telling you, we train how we fight. And if we what was that saying I gave you that the women's basketball coach said, Jason, you remember what it was?
We all want to be like a heavyweight fight, but have backyard practice or something. There you go.
Yeah, that one right there. Everybody got, I forget exactly what it is, but I'm going to misquote it, but I'm going to say the gist of it. Everybody wants to play in the NBA, but they got these backyard habits, and then their parents are applauding them for their lackluster efforts, right? So don't applaud mediocrity. You know, let's give them a hug, counsel them a little bit, and guide them to greatness. So as we close out today, I want to say thank you and welcome back. But you know how we say it this time, we're about to close out, is find something you love. Embrace, and that is your relentless pursuit. This is Minister Cedric and Jason, and we want to wish y'all a wonderful weekend. God bless you. God keep you. Have a nice weekend. Goodbye.
Hey! Hey, I'm Dr. Scott, and I'm here with my good friend, Shirley Murdoch.